Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymere Church of Christ.
Well, the good news is we have a lot of kids over there who are enjoying singing VBS songs. I appreciate Jack for singing. Don't worry, I was hoping I wouldn't get confused and introduce our speaker over there and come here and lead if you're happy and you know it, but I think I've got them in the right order now. But we are excited that you're here. We're so thankful to be able to have our Vacation Bible School, and especially if you're a guest with us. This is the normal time we meet on Sunday, but a little bit different format as we have a lot of folks who are helping over there. But we are excited to do something that we like to do during VBS, which is have various speakers and ministers in the area come and share with us. We will be going through the same subjects that our young people will be going through. And so we would encourage you on your ride home as you're going throughout the week to talk with them about what they're learning. We want to see if we can create some opportunities for discussion about what we're learning in class together. I'm really excited that Deltrick McCullough is here with us. He preaches for the Macedonia Church of Christ and has been there 11 years. And we're thankful for the work that he does and that they do. We've had a chance to work together in various ways. He's helped us before with a giveaway day, and they've invited us to participate. And he and the Macedonia congregation are one of the congregations that coordinate the back-to-school backpack effort that has been such a huge blessing in this community. And so we're thankful for them. He's here with Dion, his wife, who teaches sixth grade. And she's here with him as well as DJ, their son. And so we're thankful for that. We're going to let him, without any further time from his lesson, come and begin us on our journey through the life of Joseph. So thank you so much for being here, Deltrick. We'll have you come and speak to us.
Thank you, Andrew, for that introduction. And also to this great congregation, thank you all for putting enough trust and faith within me, to the shepherds, and also to your minister and to the membership, to come and share and be a part of this great effort of the VBS for the Graymere Church of Christ. Looking at the life of Joseph in Genesis chapter number 37, and as we journey through the life of Joseph, it's very meaningful to me to know that God's hand is always on us, no matter what condition we may be in. No matter the challenges that we face in life, the struggles, the uphill battles, the mountains that climb, it's important that we know that we are not alone. And I believe Joseph knew that he was not alone. When we get to verses 19, I'm going to deal with six verses as I introduce the life of Joseph. And I know throughout the rest of the week, you will be blessed by many other speakers that will be able to bring more life to what I'm going to share tonight about Joseph. Most of us have heard, as adults, we've heard about the life of Joseph back when we were in Sunday school classes, back when we were in VBS classes or Wednesday Bible classes. But to bring things more to light, we see at verse number 19, and I'll read these six verses. Then they said to one another, "Look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit. And we shall say, some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, which is in the wilderness. And do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father." So it came to pass, when Joseph had come to his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him in a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. Joseph was 11, or the 11th son of 12 sons of Jacob. Joseph's mother, Rachel. Joseph was special to Jacob because he was born in Jacob's old age. He was given a special gift. We see in the text that he was given a special gift by his father of an ornamented coat. The story of Joseph is very important because we can understand Joseph's story as an illustration of how God works in dreams and in visions. One of the many lessons we can take from the life of Joseph, as even though Joseph's brothers meant to do him harm, everything still ended like God, and you'll probably hear that later on in the week, but everything still ended like God wanted it to end. Joseph's life also expresses that God has always had a plan, and God will always have a plan for us, even if it is not an obvious plan. Sometimes we can't really see the plan, but we must go through whatever it is that God has put us in front of to go through. This had to be burdensome for Joseph. But Joseph knew how to trust in the Almighty God. Oftentimes we hear the phrase, trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. I've learned that trusting in God is a sense of leaning. And Joseph, he leaned on God. No matter what his siblings were doing to him, no matter how he was placed in a pit, no matter how he was plotted against, Joseph wanted to please God. And the question is tonight, as we look at the life of Joseph, will we continue to please God even in temptations and challenges? Joseph had to be rooted in order not to retaliate out of his flesh. Joseph had to have a firm trust in God in order not to render evil for evil. The life of Joseph, I count it as a unique life. It's unique to many situations that one may encounter for having vision and willing to be obedient to God. It's unique that Joseph had a unique vision. You may ask, how is Joseph's life unique? His life is unique because of his attitude while being mistreated. My life and your life is unique because all of us here has been mistreated at some point, whether we admit it or not. We have mistreated some, and we have been mistreated also. But the key thought is that our attitude during mistreatment, and because of his vision and his willingness to be obedient to God, his life can be considered unique. We learn that obedience to God through the life of Joseph. Obedience to God often and sometimes it causes envy and hatred from peers, friends, community, and even siblings. Does this mean that following and being obedient to God is wrong? No, ma'am, and no, sir, it does not mean that. It means that sometime everyone may not understand where God is placing you or where God may be leading you. God has a purpose in everything that he allows for us as God's people. Joseph's dreams were dreams of greatness. I text calls where they said that Joseph, they said, here comes this dreamer. Sometime when the naysayers see us coming, they may say, here come these Christians. But we can't let that derail us from being obedient to God, carrying out the mission of God, carrying out the ministry of God. There's one point, one of two points that I want to make tonight. One, Joseph's disposition while in the pit. It is important that we hold our composure during times of temptation, during times of trouble, during times of evilness. And Joseph was thrown in this pit of no water. Can you imagine being thrown in a pit? And this pit was 32 feet deep. If we really look at our lives and look through the lens of spirituality, we can see too that there will be times when we even feel like we have been tossed in a pit because of your vision, because of your spiritual growth. Assemblies like these grow young children, and it grow us as adults of being closer to God in our lives. It's formed to bring revelation and knowledge and growth of how God wants us and expects us to be. And as we grow in grace and knowledge, it's a true fact that you will leave many behind. Not that we leave them behind because we don't love them, but we leave them behind so that we can be examples to them. And Joseph was an example, and you'll hear this probably later on in the week too. But Joseph was an example to his brothers, to the community. And it's not to say that we are better than anyone, but God's plan is an eternal plan of direction. Worldly views does not see clear. The traitors, Joseph's traitors, they couldn't see clear. They only saw what they wanted to do to Joseph. So I say that worldly views does not see it clear. Joseph was true to God. Even in his troubled life. I want to go as far as saying that Joseph knew where his joy was. Joseph knew how to find joy. And we too have to know how to find joy in the midst of pain, in the midst of trouble. The Bible, in James, the Bible tells us to count it all joy when we fall in various trials or diverse temptations. And we must be able to find the joy that when we fall in these trials, when we fall in these temptations, when we fall in these contempt, when we fall in these situations as Joseph did, we still have to be able to find the joy that God wants us to have in being his chosen people. We still have to find that praise. We still have to find that idea of knowing that God is with me even in my pit moments. Even when we are up against pressure, we still have to find that joy. Joseph was under pressure. But Joseph understood the hand of Joseph understood the plan of God. Joseph understood that God was with him. And I believe that when we understand even more that God is with us, we'll be able to get over the hurdles of life much easier. It's true that wherever life may lead us, or wherever life may lead you, God is always with us. Even if spiritually, even if we feel like we have been thrown in a pit, God knows where we are, and God knows what you need in the pit. If I may use that tonight. In trial and temptation, God knows what we need in trial and temptation. God knows we need strength. God knows we need faith. God knows we need love. God knows we need strength. And God knows we need comfort to live in a world such as this. Secondly, Joseph's zeal while in the pit. As you see the story, Joseph had to have zeal while he was in the pit. And when you have zeal, that's what made the people mad. That's what made his traitors mad, because he had zeal. While Joseph was in the pit, Joseph did not lose his hope. While he was in the pit, Joseph did not lose his faith, nor did Joseph lose his vision. But what does it mean to have zeal? Zeal, it means to have an eager desire. And as we continue to study the life of Joseph, you'll see that Joseph had an eager desire. He had an eager desire to please the Lord. And Joseph had zeal. His desire was to remain obedient to God through his challenges of life. And the more the challenge from Joseph's traitors, I believe that this made Joseph stronger. Challenges in life, they do make us stronger. They do help us to overcome. They do help us to grow closer to God. Challenges of life help us develop a stronger love for God. Challenges of life help us develop a richer zeal and a stronger eager and a stronger desire to want to know more about this God that is with us, about this God that comforts me, about this God that is faithful to me. It's true that many will obey God. Many will give tithes. And offerings. But to be faithful to the ministry, Joseph, he was faithful. But for us to be faithful to the ministry, it is when we are in line with our spiritual purpose and our spiritual vision. That's when people sometimes will throw us in a pit. That's when traitors sometimes will push us to the side. That's when traitors sometimes will say, here comes this great, holy, and sanctified Christian. They'll mock you for being what God wants us to be. But all along, we can't let that hinder us from growing closer in the love of God. God has a spiritual purpose for everyone here tonight. From the kindergartners all the way up to the adult class, God has a purpose for every one of us. And God had a purpose for Joseph. Evildoers saw the zeal of Joseph in his disposition. You think about this now. That they saw that Joseph was going to be strong. They saw that Joseph was going to be obedient to God. And the jealousy that they had toward Joseph. And again, it made Joseph stronger. Think about the times when you know for a fact that there are some people who are jealous of you, and all you are trying to be is a child of God. It is not for us to retaliate, but what it really is for us to do is to stay strong within the grace of God. I like Paul. Paul had some people that was against him. The great apostle Paul. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Paul, like Joseph in a sense, and we are too, we are who we are by the grace of God. If it were not for God's grace, we wouldn't be assembled here today. If it wasn't for God's love, and if it was not for the ability of God, for God's ability, we wouldn't be assembled here today. And God's plan is that we grow together in the grace and in the knowledge of God. So these evildoers, they saw the zeal of Joseph in his disposition. Therefore, while in a pit, and then he was pulled out and he was sold into slavery. Sold to the Ishmaelites, which is an Arab tribe. It's an untamed country, which is now Saudi Arabia. But he was sold to the Ishmaelites. But he was still able to function because of his disposition and the obedience of God. And we too will be able to function, even in disposition, even in uncomfortable situation. God still looks for us to function, even when it's not normal for us. God still looks for us to function. Nothing changed about God. God blesses his people every day. So the measures, as we close this afternoon or tonight, the measures and matters of Joseph, the matters that Joseph stood for, blessed him to endure all God had for him, because again, the hand of God was on Joseph. And God, here's what, by the hand of God being on Joseph, here's what happened. By the hand of God being on Joseph, God worked through Joseph. God works through us also. But God worked through Joseph to bring Israel to Egypt and to preserve his people, or his chosen people, during a famine. During a famine, and God used Joseph to help a whole nation of people. And look what God is doing for us today. God is using every one of us to help the city of Columbia. God is using Graymere to help the community, the city of Columbia, and to help the families in the surrounding areas. By the ministry. And God is empowering us to be who he wants us to be. God's hand was on Joseph because he could trust him, and he used him in a special way. He saw his disposition and his zeal. And whatever Joseph did, God blessed. When you allow God to use you for his purpose, whatever you do, God will bless you. God will bless you openly. He blessed Joseph openly. And sometime God sends me and you through challenges. Through the challenges of life. But we'll use our steadfast faith.
It's how God is so unique that he can use us in a steadfast, use our steadfastness, our steadfast faith, to help someone else. It doesn't have to be someone that's not a Christian. It can be someone who is a Christian, because Christians do struggle. I know sometimes we act like we don't, but Christians, we do struggle. And this is why it's important that we stay true to God, so that we can carry out the mission of the ministry of Jesus Christ. In closing, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 58. The letter to the church at Corinth. Paul had told them about victory. And he wanted to get, he made several points, but one of his main points that he wanted to get across to them and to us is that we ought to be steadfast, unmovable. This is a part of the obedience of God that we ought to be. Joseph was steadfast. He was unmovable. But God wants us to be just like that. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Abounding in the work of the Lord. when you, the beauty of our life is that we can abound in the work of the Lord. God fights battles. God fights our challenges. God carries us through trial, tribulation, just like he did Joseph. And at the end of the trial, it will end like God wants it. So tonight, if you're here and you need to respond to the invitation, whether it's through water baptism or even if you need to repent, maybe you have not been obedient to God and maybe you've let challenges get the best of you. Maybe you even let the struggles of life and the struggles of time derail your focus from being what you know that God wants you to be. Maybe you have not trusted God like you need to trust God. We're here tonight. The shepherds are here tonight too. I can pray for you. I know the water is ready. If there's not any, it can be ran in there. Well, how do I do this? These steps that are laid out for us to come to Christ is hearing the word. Romans 10 and verse number 17. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Secondly, you must believe what you've heard. The question is, do you believe what you've heard? Hebrews 11 and verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Then third, you must repent. Repentance is simply a change. And it may not happen just tonight. It may take days and weeks and months for God to deliver you, but you can repent and ask the Lord to help you to fight against those temptations, those sins. And the church can pray for you. Not only this day, but in the days to come. Luke 13 and verse number 3, the Bible says, I tell you nay, except you repent, you all likewise shall perish. Then fourth, you must confess that he is the Christ. Peter said, thou art the Christ. Matthew chapter 16, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, Peter, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but that of my Father which are in heaven. Jesus said, upon this rock at the 18th verse, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It is the church. Then you must be baptized. This new age stuff that people are talking about, that you, all you've got to do is open your arms and just receive the Lord by faith. No, you have to have your sins washed away. The Bible doesn't say just open your arms. The Bible says confess with the mouth and to be baptized. Baptized, the word comes from a Greek word, baptizo, which means to be immersed, covered. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, the Bible says the lack figure that baptism is essential, not to put away the filth of the flesh, but it is an answer to a good conscience toward God. Maybe there's one here that needs to respond to the gospel call. If your routine is standing, we ask everyone to please stand while we together sing the song of encouragement.